You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 1. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you for your person and your presence. Spirit of God, honor our Lord and thy word, that Father, you'd be pleased. God, you have to help us that we might have the wonderful benefit of honoring you, of knowing you. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study, we have spent time at this point and looked at God's wonderful person, that God would give wonderful expression to himself, and the one that would be born in Bethlehem of Judea would be called Jesus, for he would save his people from their sin. And we shared that Jesus, Jehovah, saves. God said, I'm the only God, and I'm the only Savior, and therefore Jesus. And, without hardly blinking an eye, you're going to add God what? And you need to call his name Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. And with us, not just with us, a companion of fellowship, a wonderful relationship to God. Ever you go, God's there. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and I'm with you always. Wow. You're going to be wherever we are. That's what you intend. You intend to have a personal relationship to human beings in a most wonderful way. And you're going to be with them. Mm-hmm. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. Now, having said that little bit, so here we are looking and reminding ourselves that Jesus and Emmanuel, all of that is going to come to pass in the wonderful birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And keep that in mind, that you and I are very unique. We've said that over and over again. And God in his glorious person is going to give expression to himself, his nature, his being, his essence. He's going to do that. And he is going to go and do that, as we shared in Sunday school and that. He's going to do that because, before anything and anyone, he determined to glorify himself by himself. And that would be how, by the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And that's how he's going to do it. There's no one, no cross, no people, no earth, no angels. And you're going to do that, God. I am. And it centers in that. So when we now think of it, here we are on planet Earth, and as we do so, God, you want us to understand that you created us in your image and in your likeness. So we're uniquely, wonderfully made. On the outside, we live in a body that is dying and cursed by sin. But we who live inside these bodies, we persons inside the body, God, we are made to last forever, to be able to honor you forever. And it's all about forever. And we shared that here and now is to get us to there and then. Here and now is but for a moment. There and then has no end to it. It's eternal. So that's the main issue. And so, God, we're given the privilege to be born on planet Earth in your image and likeness in a most wonderful way. And the angels, they are going to watch and learn They're made to worship you and honor you and to learn of you. And we are the objects. We are the centerpiece in the front of the classroom. We are ones on the blackboard to think about and learn about us humans in a most wonderful way. We don't learn about the development of angels. We learn about the development of humans. That's what we do. So we're learning about humans. So God, here we are in your image and likeness, and that's an awesome thing. God, and you're going to go, and you made us that way so that you could find yourself at home in our heart, in our being. And God, you're going to take away this body to give us a new one because it's your grace, in your grace and in your mercy. Now, having said that, so we know that we need, that because of sin in Adam, all die, in Christ shall all be made alive. And we know from Romans 5:12 and all of that, in Adam all die, and death passed upon all men, for all men have sinned. So God, we have a problem, us humans. We need life. We need light and life. And so God, you've made that possible. In our darkness and in our death, we're here, but we can't function like you intended us. We can't function at all. Well, we have all the wonderful abilities and thought process and all of that, but we can't fulfill anything. We're here today and gone tomorrow, and we feel good one day and we don't feel good the next day, and things are going good and then they aren't going good, and work and home and school and everything we do, and we go through all that, but God, that's all we have. And we can celebrate all kinds of things, even Christmas, but we can't do more than that. That's all we can do. And give us another few hours and it's all over. So it's forgotten and we're done with it. Well, that's all we have. We're humans. But God, we're more than that. You created us to be able to enjoy you and honor you. And you did that by way of your Son. Therefore, in Luke 1:35, God, what did you do? You went, and Mary, the seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15, you made it possible for a birth. The birth that you talked about and made possible before the foundation of the earth. In fact, all of us were found in you before anything or anyone was ever created. You have us all lined up. Wow. Awesome. And God, you can do that because you're going to make possible our birth by your birth. So you're going to be born the sinless Son of God by way of the Virgin Mary, by way of the Spirit of God, Luke 1:35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be found, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. Now you're going to do that, God, in a most wonderful way. And you did it. And therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary, was born a little child. Now, for us to be reminded and refreshed, God, you're infinite and you're finite. We're finite and you're infinite and you're invisible. That is, you and your wonderful being are different, holy, than we are. And therefore, God, we have a problem. We can see a little bit. We can understand a little bit. We can even look up at the sky a little bit, not very much. And even when we get the Hubble telescope and all of that, we can see a couple of trillion galaxies and try to guess at them. And if they're that we think that are there, galaxies, not stars. And God, we can do a little bit, but we don't have very much, God. Now, God, you have to help us. You have to help us understand. So, God, you're going to go and do a wonderful thing. You said it It was the plan to be born in Bethlehem of Judea in order that what? Philippians chapter 2. That you might be obedient and go to the cross and die for our sin. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, God, you're going to do all of that. And here we are. Here we are living on planet Earth. So, God, in order for us to sort of be reminded, Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah and chapter 9. May I pick up, please? And you will note, which you are familiar with, you're going to note, if you would, of all the different, there's over 300 scriptures that all point to the birth and person of Christ. And all of them were fulfilled and had to be fulfilled in order for him to be born. And that's something else. And like we shared in Sunday school, I think we did, here's Noah, and here's one of his three sons, Seth, S-E-T-H, Seth, and here is Seth. And then we're going to go all the way through time to Bethlehem, where we're looking at. And that, the odds of that happening are 1 trillion to 1. 1 trillion to 1. God did it. God, there's nothing you can't do when God wants to do it. And God does it in such a wonderful way. Therefore, Isaiah 9 and 6. For unto us, you're going to tell us as we move through history, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. In his wonderful humanity, he's going to be born by way of the Virgin Mary, and he's going to have a perfect, wonderful human nature. And God, in your wonderful, wonderful person, God the Son, is going to go and unite himself in your wonderful deity to his wonderful humanity. And you're going to make one person, one nature, human, one nature, deity, wonderfully, wonderfully together, never overlapping each other, each one separate, perfectly in union together, and you're one person. God, you're going to make it possible to unite us humans to you through Jesus Christ our Lord, our Savior, who dies for our sin on Calvary's cross. You're going to make it possible for us to be united to you. How could we, angels, aren't united to you? And you didn't become an angel, you became a human. So what? So that we could have a unique relationship. How are we going to get to you? The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So how are we going to get there? Through you. Through you. Through your wonderful, perfect humanity that goes and pays the price for our sin and makes it possible so that we are able to be invited. God made us to know him in his image and likeness, to be able to honor him. Wow. Now, how can that be? Because of our Lord Jesus Christ. He made it possible for us to have this unique relationship to you, God, in his humanity. It's his birth. Without his birth, there's no way. No way. But by his birth, it is what is impossible is now possible. And we are to be the recipients of that invitation and of your gracious ability to take us and bring us into your wonderful, wonderful person in the person of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 9, 6. A child is born, a son is given. And that one born in Bethlehem of Judea, is the government should be upon his shoulder. His name, Jesus, Emmanuel, but more. His name should be called Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful. Awesome Counselor. Mighty God, the God in Christ. Hang on. The everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, in the God-man, born in Bethlehem of Judea. Really? Uh-huh. Verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace shall there be no end upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord hath host will make it happen. Aha! Now how are you going to make it happen? Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. And in Isaiah chapter 7, what are you going to do, God? Well, I'm going to go and I'm going to tell you how it's going to be done, and in the light of the context and everything. In verse 13, and he said to Ahaz, hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? That's one thing. But will you weary my God also? Therefore, God said, you don't believe me. Do you know that you are so special? But God, you are more special. Now, God, can you really be that involved? Therefore, Ahaz, you don't believe. Israel, you don't believe. You ought to believe. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. A son, child is given, a son shall be born, a king of kings and father and God. But in order to get the message across, behold, the virgin shall conceive, verse 14, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, God, you're going to do that. I am. Now, God, you're the wonderful Savior, Counselor, God, Father, Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, the Savior. Now, God, you're going to be born of a virgin. I told you that, Genesis 3:15. The seed of the woman. How did you, Adam and Eve, how did you ever proceed in the light of your fall? You can't hide from God. You have to come out. How can you come out? God has made it possible. He paid the price for your sin. The seed of the woman, the child that is born in Bethlehem of Judea by the Spirit of God. That's without sin, the sinless Son of God. So now, having said that, go with me, please, over, if you would, to Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53. And picking up, if I may, if you would. Now, what do we know? A virgin of a woman? Instead of being king and just God stepping out and being God, wow. Like you're going to do in the tribulation when you roll back the heavens that are up there in the sky and you move them, open them up like a scroll, a curtain, and open it up, and there you are for the whole world to pay attention to you. And remember that in the context of that, Revelation chapter 6. And behold, they scurry and hurry to hide behind every rock and in every cave, as God reveals his wrath. Wow. Now, God, here we are. Isaiah 53. That we can understand that, God. Awesome God. Fearsome. Fearful. Absolutely. To be feared. But a babe. Isaiah 53, verse 2. I'll read verse 1 even. Who hath believed our report? And to whom was the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. A tender plant. A little plant. And not a big flower. Not a big tree. A little plant. You plant the little plant in the ground. And the little plant grows and grows and grows. He's going to be born. A child is born. Now, and as a root Out of dry ground, where does he come from? He comes from Israel. And Israel, is Israel believing in the days of our Lord Jesus Christ? No. Are they full of life? No, they're dead. But out of them, out of the tribe of Judah, out of Mary, etc., etc., comes this child to be born. Aha. Uh-huh. And he hath no form, no form. He's the king. How can a king be born in Bethlehem of Judea? A little king out of a nation that isn't hardly, all it is in subjection to Rome. Uh-huh. He has no form, but he's king. No comeliness, no comeliness. Take it even a step further. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He's just a little baby. Among all the babies, a baby's a baby. Now I know, I understand, I'm not a mother, you know, I understand mothers slightly, I do. But I understand mothers and babies. But babies, when I go see them, they're all lined up in a row and little cribs and whatever they're doing. And they're all babies. They all look like babies to me. They're all babies. All the babies are the same. You were all once babies, weren't you? But you know now, well, if you look at your baby picture, do you see yourself? But that is really you. You live inside that little baby's frame. And you grew, and you still live in that frame that once was a little baby, wasn't it? Now, God, what are you going to do? He's just a little baby. Who's going to pay attention to him? Now, God, you ought to do something to make it so that he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, we ought to have something that draws attention. Aha. Okay. Over to Micah. Micah chapter 5. Micah chapter 5, Amos, Obadiah, Micah, etc., Jonah, Micah. Micah chapter 5, and picking up, if I may, in Micah chapter 5. But now, God, you're going to tell us something again. So here's a little baby, and to get our attention, uh-huh. The great promise, Genesis 3:15, the only two people live on earth, Adam and Eve, and you told them the wonderful promise. And when there was nobody, you told yourself, God, that you're the Lamb of God that's going to take away the sin of the world. And now you announce yourself. How do you announce yourself? How do you announce yourself, God? Being God, infinite. And you're going to come down and be finite. You're going to take your infinite person and lock on to finiteness in a person. You're going to do that. Always God still, but you're locked in. You're locked in. You've brought a person into your being, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And how did you do so? Well, in Bethlehem of Judea, chapter 5, verse 2, thou Bethlehem Ephrata, fruitfulness, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. He's the everlasting God that locks on, and he's always everlasting. He has no beginning and he has no end. But now he's locked on to a human being. He's locked on to a human being born of Virgin Mary, God, the Spirit of God, locking on perfect deity, perfect humanity in one person, in a unique thing. And where are you going to do it? In Bethlehem. What about Bethlehem? Bethlehem's only 5 or 6 miles from Jerusalem to the south. Bethlehem's nothing. Jerusalem is, wow. But Bethlehem, Bethlehem, uh-huh, Bethlehem, the place of Jesse and David, uh-huh, Bethlehem, little old Bethlehem. That's how I'm going to do it. You'd go right through it if you were driving. Might be a gas station and a little convenience store, and you'd go right through the town. You wouldn't even know. Now, God, what are you going to do? I'm going to take it in Bethlehem. Now, God, you're losing us because you're the Prince of Peace, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the God. We're going to go to Bethlehem. Okay, we'll go to Bethlehem. And in the light of going to Bethlehem, you're going to go and demonstrate in your marvelous person all that you are, and you're all going to do that in the most wonderful way. So, God, you're going to do that, and as you know from our studies of John and that, at which you know, John chapter 1, verse 14, without turning there, and the Word became flesh and blood, flesh and blood, born in Bethlehem, Judea. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Where did it dwell? Where did the Prince of Peace dwell? The Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus the Savior, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. Where? Bethlehem. How so? A little baby. Just a little baby. That's all. Just a little baby. Just an ordinary baby, it seems. An ordinary baby who's extraordinary. And you know what? You know what? We shared it on Wednesday or whatever. The wise men came all the way from Euphrates, Babylon over there. And they came looking to find the child. And the Herod is right there up in Jerusalem. And here's the priest and the scribes up there in Jerusalem. And all they had to do, they told Herod, Micah 5:2, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. You guys all knew this. But not one of you will take time to go 5 or 6 miles to the south, like to go to Middletown Center and a little bit further and take a look. Not one of you did it. Not one of you. Wow. Now, God, here we are in Bethlehem. And though thou be little, a little town, and we're born, and they came unto his own, John 1:11, and his own received him not, the Jewish people, they just didn't bother with him. They didn't bother with him. He was just an ordinary baby, Joseph and Mary. And then all of his half-brothers and sisters come along, and he's just a little baby, the son of a carpenter. A son of a carpenter, Joseph's not the father, God is. Now here we are going, and God, you're going to do what you do. And back over, if I can, to Luke. And Luke in chapter 1. Luke in chapter 1. And I just want to remind myself about Mary's attitude, because we don't know. She's just an ordinary girl. There's nothing extraordinary about her. We don't know anything about her. She's just a girl. We're just humans. Just a person. Now, it's true that she was in the line of David, and that was necessary. But apart from that, why pick her? Why give her such favor? Why highly favor her? Wow. Because in your wonderful kindness, here is a girl, a young girl. What kind of heart does she have? She's told, remember, you know what, I'm just quoting it for myself, Luke chapter 1, verse 37. She hears, for with God, that's what she's told. For with God, nothing, and remember the word nothing is the word W-O-R-D, nothing, word, the word. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And she hears that. And Mary said, behold, here I am, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me. You're going to have a baby without a man, without a father. Uh-huh, that's right. But, be it unto me, verse 38, according to thy word. Remember, thy word goes back up to the word nothing, verse 37. According to thy word, according to thy nothing. And the angel departed from her. God, you said it, I'll do it. God found somebody that paid attention to him. God said, I'm going to save you. And then you say, do it. Do it. That's how you get saved. You believe God. And God does it. Wow. Now, here she is looking. And gone, she's looking, and the thing is awesome, a little lowly girl, insignificant as we share together. And she's going to believe God, that God, what he says, he's able to do, and he's able to do. And everything's ordinary, except why I'm pregnant, using her. Why am I pregnant? God, you did it. Why am I still alive? God, you do it. So God, here we are, and everything's ordinary. Ordinary, ordinary, ordinary. Oh, John the Baptist is going to be born 6 months or so from now. Wow. But we're just ordinary things. And God, but it's all extraordinary. It's all awesomely extraordinary. But you know, the world doesn't care. The world doesn't care about God's extraordinariness. What's so extraordinary about God that he was willing to go and take a little baby and make that little ordinary baby extraordinary? A little baby to become the Prince of Peace. That God, you would unite yourself to that little baby, so that we could be united to you. There's no way on earth, God, that we can get there. We can't even come close, God. But you have made it possible in your most wonderful way. So you've taken the ordinary and made it extraordinary for us. Now, so God, in doing all of that, wonderful things for us, and you're going to go, and we read it this morning at Sunday school. Philippians 2, he humbled himself. Did God humble himself? He went down and became a little baby. A child is born, a son is given. That's awesome. Now, you and I, we can't appreciate it. We don't even know it. We don't even know it, but God doesn't. God said, I became like you without sin. A little baby, God said. Now, God, do you care? Oh, absolutely. You made it before we were ever created, you know. That's why you died. Because you knew you made us. That's why we were born. We had no business being born if there wasn't a Savior. Otherwise, we'd be born hopelessly, helplessly in sin. But God, you didn't do that. Nope, not at all. So now, God, having said that, here's this little baby bound as it is, and in the process, and you're going to go and take this little baby and make it extraordinary. Now, does anyone know it's extraordinary? No. You're omniscient. You know everything. Uh-huh. How much does this baby know? The baby doesn't know anything. You are able to go, and you're omnipotent in power. How much power does this baby have? You have to change its diapers. You have to feed it. Wow, little baby. But you're omnipotent. I am. You're omniscient. You're everywhere forever. Everything is in the middle of you. And yet, God, you have limited yourself to give expression, to show forth your magnificent person by way of this little baby. This little baby. Now, God, what are you going to do? Well, here's this little baby, God, and of all the different babies there are, and here we are, and it's flesh and blood, flesh and blood, little baby. And in the process, God, it's the Word become flesh. Uh-huh. Can't speak a word. All I can do is cry. Now, God, we didn't pay attention. At Mount Sinai, oh, we didn't want you to tell us, Deuteronomy 5, we didn't want you to tell us anything anymore, God. We'll let Moses tell it. We don't want to hear you, God. God said, listen, you need to hear me. So what are you going to do, God? I'm going to speak again. I am. I've spoken in these last days by my son. This is my beloved son. Hear ye him. Uh-huh. Wow. But, how are we going to know? He's going to speak in this most wonderful way to you. And he's going to cry. And he's going to limit himself to just a cry. And are you going to pay attention? He became like you to save you. How much did he become like us all the way? He was born in the line of Adam by way of Mary so that he could save us. He had to be born. He had to be born the sinless Son of God to save us in a most wonderful way. So God, he's the Word. He's the Word to become flesh, but he can't speak a word. He's the wordless. He has all knowledge. But he has no knowledge. He has no power. No, he's just a baby. And you know who holds him? Well, before he holds him, where are we going to put him? We're going to put him in a manger. That's right, a little place where they stay and when it's crowded. And a manger, with a cave, a manger area, where they keep animals. And he's in a stall where you feed the animals. No. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And you know what? He's going to be wrapped over, if you would, over to John. And in John chapter 20, you would recall, you know all these things. And God, what are we going to do? And Peter, what are you going to do? John, etc. 20, John 20, verse 6. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was upon his head that they laid there when they were finished, was upon his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but neatly wrapped, put aside, and placed by itself. Well, now what do they see? They saw a little baby in a manger, a crib, wrapped in what? Swaddling clothes, a cloth. It's a square cloth. Think of a square cloth with a little branch cloth coming out on the side of it, square, and the little thing coming out like that on the side. And it would come out, and that's what they wrapped it in. They wrapped it in a square cloth in a feeding trough for animals. Uh-huh, that's what they did. And now Mary, can you pick up that baby? You will. You will. Who are you, Mary? You're nobody. You're just like us. And you know, you're holding that little baby. And all we can do, we couldn't even imagine, Mary, what it was like. And you didn't even understand it, Mary, did you? That you were holding God in your hands. You changed his diapers. Did you understand that, Mary? Oh, no. No. He humbled himself to become like you and like me so that you and I have a Savior, so that Emmanuel could be with us. Otherwise, we're just here. Here today, gone tomorrow. Merry Christmas. Well, no, Christmas is about you discovering God's magnificence, that God became like you without sin to give you a life like his. Wow. Hang on. See if we can't do that. So quickly gone. Here we are in the manger with all that. God, it's awesome. And you're so big. Big. And that's our problem, isn't it? It's our problem, let alone theirs. How can God, if you're going to tell me God is endless and everything and there's nothing outside of God in his omnipresence and everything is inside of God, and you're going to tell me what? That he would become a baby He's too big. Baby's too small. Too insignificant. But God, God, what is big? How big is big? You created the universe, we've said 1,000 times. And you did it so we can never, 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 never understand how big it is. Even though those people that are into it tell us there's 2 trillion galaxies, not stars. That's what they think. Let alone, next week it'll be 4 trillion galaxies. And all of that is a finite expression. Little, little dot of the universe in the light of your magnificence. Ah, God, you can't become a baby. Can you? I did. And that's why you and I are born. Because Christ would come and die on the cross for our sin. Therefore, over if you would, over to Corinthians. Over to 1 Corinthians and chapter 14. Time is gone. I didn't mean to drift a little bit. I don't even know how to do this message. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do it. What? 1 Corinthians 14. God, here we are. And you know, the Corinthian church, what did God remind them of? That you're bought with a price, you're not your own. Philippians 6, 19, 20. You're not your own anymore. When you got saved, you're not your own. You're his. Uh-huh. You're his. We think we're ours. No, we're his. His property. Now what for? And the Corinthians have to keep going. They didn't catch on. They would, maybe. But in the turn of the century, they hadn't totally caught on yet. 1 Corinthians 14, picking up, please, in verse 24. And if all prophesy, this is looking at the local assembly in Corinth, where they're sitting, having assembled together like we are this morning. Verse 23. Therefore, the whole church come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, languages, and there come in those that are unlearned and unbelievers, and they will say, you're all crazy, mad. No, that is the wrong kind of message. But if all prophesy and they're caught up in the word, amening it and believing it and resting in it, and if all prophesy and they come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of the heart of the learned and unlearned, saved and come in, made manifest, public, clear, plain, so falling down. What is the person unsaved, whatever they're going to do in the assembly of Corinth? Fall down on his face. And he will worship God. And what is he going to say out in the street to his friends, to his family, and report that God is in you of a truth? That's what church is. God is in you. Emmanuel, God with us. It's about God being in us. Us little babies that grew up and recognized the need to be saved. And we received the Lord as our Savior. So that God made it possible for us to be uniquely, wonderfully in his presence, which we are. United to him. Wow. God. That's what church is about. That's what being saved is about. That's what Christmas is about. For God to be in you. Emmanuel. God with you. That's what it's about. About Christmas presents. I got a present and I got the... No, it's not about that. No. And birth. I got a little birthday party. Remember the birth. But it isn't birth, it's incarnation. He wasn't born like you were. He was incarnate. He stepped into a human body. That's what he did. Wow. Wow. That's awesome, God. And therefore, God, as we think of that, in 2 Corinthians in chapter 9, and we'll close with that. Appreciate your patience and hope you got a little bit. And in 2 Corinthians in chapter 9, may I pick up, please, in thought, to the end of the whole wonderful section, but the end of chapter 9. 2 Corinthians 9, the end. Now, what are we going to do? Thanks, that's the word thanks, grace. The word thanks is grace. Thanks, grace to God. Grace be unto God. Thanks, God, for your grace. Thank you very much. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Now, unspeakable means unutterable. You cannot understand that. There is no language. There are no words. There's no group of words. Wonderful, awesome, beyond wonder. There are no words. What you've done for us, God, and having a little child be born. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. A gift. The gift of a little baby that would go to the cross and die and rise again and make it possible for us, whosoever is to believe, to be found safely, rightly, permanently locked in to his wonderful presence. God, the incarnate Son of God, has found a home in the believing heart, in your heart. You know there's a palace, you don't care about all of that, now you don't have time. Over there, fresco in Italy, and the aura, the northern and southern lights, here's up in the high ceiling, was painted up on plaster with watercolors. Painted up there. And when you go into that palace, you look up like this, trying to see the picture. And painting, it's awesome. Wow. But you can't do it. So the owner of the palace has placed a big mirror elevated down here on the floor. So as you go in, you can look at the mirror without stretching your neck. It can look in the mirror and see it up above. God, what have you done? I brought myself down to a little baby so you could start paying attention. Pay attention. I've taken the ordinary and made it extraordinary. And God, we don't have a painting to look up at the northern and southern lights in the sky. But we have you. Now, God, how am I going to find you this Christmas? Am I going to look at you? Christ in you. You are my witnesses, Acts 1:8. So when I see you, I don't have to look up to the sky where I can't see. I don't see him. But there you are, making God visible. His grace and his mercy, I think it's awesome. I do. Father and God, thank you for your love and your care, and thank you very, very much. So deal with us. We just stumble through things, God. God, wow. That's a big wow. Wonder of wonders, God. We're nothing. We're vessels of clay. And you've given us the privilege of demonstrating your grace and allowing and having our Lord Jesus Christ be our life, our light, and our Lord. And our God, we thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.